following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
There is a particular science where people learn how to watch the way people move with their body, their eyes, their facial expressions, their hand gestures. Different movements that they make can tell us what kind of emotions are going on with that person, what they're thinking. If I did my research right, that science is known as kinesics. And kinesics can be defined as this. It's the science of observing nonverbal actions that express what we are feeling or what we are thinking. So without ever saying a word, there are ways that we can tell what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what kind of emotions are stirring in your mind. Man, you're going to help me out with this. When your wife does this, what does that mean? That means either you're in trouble or you're fixing to have to do something. It's like the wheels in the mind are doing like this and they go, let me tell you. All right, ladies, it's your turn. When your man does this, what does it mean? He don't like what you just said when you threw those hands up on those hips. We can tell what other people are thinking just by their facial expressions. We've seen a lot of that this past week. Many of you, if you've been around teenagers, you know that this is their typical body language. Either that or they go, do that foot stomp. You know that they don't like what they just heard or what you just told them to do. We've seen a lot of this week. People look at you like this, like they're really trying to digest what you just thought. A lot of what we saw this past week, though, was smiles on faces. These kids were having a really, really, really good time. So just by examining someone's body language, you can really, really tell what's going on in their mind, what's going on in their heart, what they're thinking, what kind of emotions are stirring. 4:30 Friday afternoon, my body language was don't do anything else. We literally got back to the house. Marcy got on the couch. I got in the recliner, kicked it back, and my body said, you're not doing anything else right now. We've always said that there is no tired like a dry creek tired at camp, but I think there is no tired like a VBS tired. Over the past week, we have seen the body of Christ in motion. All of these spiritual gifts that we've talking about over the past few weeks, we've pretty much seen just about every one of those put to use in some way, shape, or form. Some of those spiritual gifts have been exhibited right up front. They've been in the spotlight, while others have been practiced back in the shadows where nobody else will see what they participated in. We've seen the gift of administration. We have a fantastic Vacation Bible School director. I want to thank Miss Melody Turner for the work that she does. We've seen a crew back in the kitchen with the gift of hospitality and service, preparing meals, fixing snacks, getting things ready there. We've seen the gift of teaching, this GOLA team that we've had. Man, these guys were phenomenal. So we've seen all of these spiritual gifts pretty much put into practice over the past week in some way, shape, or form. Some people, their spiritual gift is giving. They don't even have to be here on the premises while Vacation Bible School is going on, but they've donated either food or something to help out with the cause of Vacation Bible School. So we've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 looking at the list of spiritual gifts that the Apostle Paul has written there. We're going to move to Romans chapter 12, another place where we see a list of spiritual gifts. Some of these are duplicates. Some of these are separate from what he lists in 1 Corinthians. You have to remember he's writing to two separate churches. They have totally different sets of issues going on. 1 and 2 Corinthians is a series of correspondence letters that Paul received from that church, and he's answering them through the course of that. Here in the book of Romans, most New Testament scholars believe that Romans was written after Paul wrote his letters to the Corinthian church. Just based on what you find in Romans chapter 15, Paul writes about a relief fund that he was gathering up, an offering that he was going to send to Jerusalem, one of the first places we see disaster relief in the Bible. Most people will agree that around 57 AD is when this letter to the Roman church was written. Chapter 12 is not the only place where Paul mentions spiritual gifts in the book of Romans, chapter 1, in his greeting, his welcome, his opening letter, he says he hopes to come to them soon to impart to them some type of spiritual gift to help establish them as a congregation and a church. So he doesn't expound on the specific spiritual gifts at that point in chapter 1. I think what he does is he kind of introduces the concept of spiritual gifts. But throughout the book of Romans, Romans is a great, great book to study. Hopefully sometimes in the near future we'll get to studying that. So here in Romans 12, he begins with his greeting in chapter 1. And then in the following chapters, he addresses some specific doctrinal matters that we benefit from today. He touches on the doctrine of sin. He touches on the doctrine of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. He touches on the doctrine of justification and baptism. And then he gets to the topic of spiritual gifts in chapter 12. And I find it very, very interesting. You'll see here in just a minute, when we looked at the topic of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, following that, he had an entire chapter, chapter 13, on the topic of love. And he does the same thing here in the book of Romans, chapter 12. He touches on the spiritual gifts, talks about them a little bit, and then he says, look, love is very important. Love is more important than any of these spiritual gifts. So let's all stand. We'll take a look at some of these specific spiritual gifts next week. We're going to kind of do a review right here today in Romans chapter 12. We were in this passage not too long ago. I think in the book, in the month of March, we were here in Romans chapter 12. We're going to cover it again with the specific purpose of looking at, the spiritual gifts that he lists here. Seven gifts are mentioned in this chapter. We'll talk about them in just a moment. But the Apostle Paul says here in Romans chapter 12, I'm reading from the New King James Version. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. If you're using another translation, it may say urge or plead with you. So this is very, very important, what he's talking about, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, John echoes the same thing. He says, love not the world, nor the things of the world. If the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not in you. So Paul and John agree on this matter that we should not ever be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me and everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That word means to be sensible or clear-minded, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And here it is. He follows up with love. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer and distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Let's stop right there. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We believe that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, eternal word of God, and that is what we stand upon. So I pray, Lord God, as we unpack the truths here in Romans chapter 12, that you'll show our hearts, Lord God, where we are at, where we stand, where we need to be also, Lord. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord God, so that we can prove what is that good and perfect will of God through the use of our spiritual gifts that you've imparted to us. Now I pray, Lord God, if there's any one person here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today they would understand who you are and what you've done for them. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Body language. Can you tell what's going on in someone's body just by their actions, their motions? You can tell whether a body is a healthy body or a sick body just by looking at it, by the way it moves, by the way it responds to different things. And I think as I was watching what was going on here during Vacation Bible School, I think I saw a healthy body that was functioning, doing what it was supposed to do. It was working together. We ran across a few issues early on, the first couple of days, but we worked those out. We were able to work together to find a resolution to those, and we moved right along. I saw John Logan with several of our youth. We're teaching them how to serve. They had, at least six or seven youth that were here throughout the week. They were working in the kitchen. They were working outside. Pretty much anything what we had asked them to do, they helped us put the stage back together, take the decorations down. So we saw all different ages, different talents, different spiritual gifts put to use during the course of this week. And I think what I saw was a body that was moving. And for what I see, the body language that I saw, the body here is getting healthy. It is ready to serve. It is ready to explore more opportunities for ministry as well. And I think that's what Paul is talking to the church here at Rome about as well. He uses the analogy of the body just like he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's interesting to know when he introduces the spiritual gifts to the church at Ephesus, when we get to that part, Ephesians chapter 4, talking about spiritual gifts, he uses the analogy of the body there as well. So your body itself, how do you treat it? How do you consider it? How do you keep it in shape? Is your body right now a living sacrifice that is presentable to the Lord Jesus Christ? And is our body here at First Baptist Church presentable to the Lord as well? When Paul opens up this passage, that's the first thing he starts talking about. He said, your body must be consecrated, prepared, and ready to offer to the Lord. I think that is a prerequisite to finding out what your spiritual gift is. In verses 1 and 2, he says that very thing. At this moment, here's a question. Point number 1, it comes in the form of a question. At this moment, right now, is your life presentable to the Lord? You could also put the word acceptable in there as well. Is your life acceptable to the Lord? He says, I beseech you, I plead with you, I urge you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Before Paul makes the appeal for the application of spiritual gifts in the life of a Christian, he signifies that consecration is necessary. It's not an afterthought. It's not something you can deal with later on. But prior to discovering your spiritual gift and putting your spiritual gift to use, is your body a living sacrifice? Is it holy and is it acceptable? Is it presentable to the Lord? If you do a study of sacrifices throughout the Bible, whether it is Old Testament or New Testament, any study at all of sacrifices throughout the Bible will provide an understanding that they are not to be second rate, but only the very best. To be holy to the Lord is to be presented to Him wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely. Charles Stanley used to always say this. He used to always say that partial obedience is total disobedience. And God doesn't want just a second-rate partial sacrifice. He wants the whole thing. Holy and acceptable. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, King Saul went to offer two different sacrifices prior to the priest getting there, before Samuel ever got there. He offered a burnt sacrifice and a fellowship sacrifice. I think the sacrifice that Paul is referring to or alluding to here in chapter 12 is a free will sacrifice. It's not given out of any other obligation other than I'm just thankful for what the Lord has blessed me with. Therefore, I lay my body down. I lay my life down. I give everything that I have as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to the Lord. So let's talk about this body as a sacrifice. This analogy that Paul is using of the body, this isn't the only place in Scripture where the body is referred to. The body in the Greek language is the word soma, and it is a physical body, a church, or a heavenly body. And Jesus used the example of his own body being broken when he instituted the Lord's Supper. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about the Lord's Supper that he instituted. And in Luke, he says that he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And that bread was symbolic of his body that would be broken for the sins of mankind. And when he broke the bread, Jesus told his disciples then, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He was setting the example for us of what we should offer to the Lord to be used. Now the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses the same analogy to represent the life of a Christian and a church as well. The term body, as it refers to the church, is used here in Romans, Corinthians, and in Ephesians in connection with the spiritual gifts that he gives that are to be used in the body. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus Christ gave his body as a sacrifice so that your body can be made holy, a living sacrifice, so that your body can become a member of the body known as the church of Jesus Christ. Your body is to become a part of a bigger body that is growing each and every day. Just like the human body, from the time of birth to the time of death, your body is growing, it's changing, it's moving, it's learning new things, it's developing new attributes. So is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was birthed in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost. It continues to grow, it continues to breathe. It continues to have new members coming into it. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. It is living, it is breathing, it is moving, it is growing, and it all goes back to Jesus Christ saying, "This is my body broken for you." Now his broken body is creating a unified body in the form of the New Testament church. The term body, as it refers to the church, is used in all of these places where spiritual gifts are mentioned. Let me just say this as well. Not only is the church a unified body, but the church is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's his church. And he wants to see it unified, and he wants to see it growing. Now, let me just say this. Don't you dare ever let me catch you saying, "I go to Brother Tracy's church." It's not my church. This is not my church. It's not your church either. And you have my permission to correct anyone that says they go to old such and such's church. It's not their church. And if they think it is, they do not have the right concept of what a New Testament church actually is. This is Jesus' church. This is the church that he shed his blood for. And this is a church that he said that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. It's not my church or your church. It's his church. And as long as we go into it with that mindset, we become a presentable living sacrifice for the Lord to use. But now your body, your physical body, this body that you are in right now, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your body is the place where the Holy Spirit resides. It's more than just a pile of flesh and bones. You are a living, breathing sacrifice to where when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He sends His Holy Spirit to live within you. That is what makes you a presentable, acceptable, living sacrifice to the Lord. It's not anything that you can do. It's all about what He's doing inside of you. The verse that we learned last week, 1 John 4:4, greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm that living sacrifice. I've been crucified with Jesus, but yet I'm still alive. And it's not I who lives, but it is Christ who lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you're a living sacrifice, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this again. The church does not belong to you. You belong to the church if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your life right now acceptable and presentable, holy and consecrated? Have you undergone that transformation that He's talking about? The world's view of a body, let's talk about that for just a moment. The world's view of a body is radically different from God's view of a body. If you'll remember, we are created in His image, but the world has distorted that in so many different ways. The world's view of a body is radically different from what God's view of the body is. In the world today, anything goes. It's my body. I'm going to do with it what I want to. How many times have you heard that here recently? Do what makes you happy. The world today can't even tell the difference between a boy and a girl. So the world's view of a body is completely, totally, radically different from God's view of the human body. Folks, I want you to notice here that before Paul addresses spiritual gifts in both Romans and 1 Corinthians, he urges readers to take a close look at their own holiness and walk with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you back up into chapter 11, he says, examine yourself. Is there anything that's keeping you from being a presentable living sacrifice to the Lord? Have you confessed your sins and made Jesus the Lord of your life? His body was broken for that to be made possible. Have your sins been washed clean by His shed blood? Are you undergoing the process of consecration? Let me just say this. This process of consecration starts at the moment when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and it's going to continue on until the day He calls you home. Consecration is a total ongoing process to make you that living sacrifice that is acceptable to the Lord. And have you presented your life as that living sacrifice? It is only then that you can truly say that you are ready and available to be used by the Lord. Point number two, at this moment, how available are you for the use of Christ's body? God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. He's looking for a life that is presentable to Him, that living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable. But right now, at this moment, your life, how available are you for the use of Christ's body? Picking up in verse 3, he says this. He says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, sensible and clear-minded, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of the other. If a brother or sister is in need, are you available to help them out? If a brother or sister is struggling through this life, are you available to support them and to love on them? Part of this transformation process that Paul mentioned in verse 2 is understanding that your life is no longer your own. The thing about a living sacrifice is the whole thing has been given for another cause. The word transformed itself, metamorphomai, is where we get our word metamorphosis from. It talks about the act of a caterpillar entering into a cocoon, that cocoon busting open and a butterfly emerging forth, something totally different than what it was before. That word transforms means that you are no longer what you used to be. You see, in your sinful state, before you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you were self-centered. Whether you want to admit it or not, but now you are no longer what you used to be. You have taken on a new appearance and a new nature. You've taken on a spiritual nature. You are no longer thinking of yourself only, but what can I do for the Lord and what can I do to benefit His body, these other members that are connected to this body as well. Now, instead of having a one member operating solo, you have become attached to one body with many other members. You have made yourself available to function along with other members in this body of Christ. We do not have the same functions as others. God has wired you differently. He's created you differently. He's gifted you differently. He's given you different talents. He's given you different gifts. He's given you a different spiritual gift. This church would not function if everyone had the gift of a teacher. A teacher teaches, a preacher preaches, a deacon deeks, whatever the deacons do. Choir members sing. But God has gifted you in a specific way to where this body can do so much more if all of these members are functioning according to what they've been gifted with. We do not have the same function as others, and we do not function independently either. We do not function thinking that we are more important than the other members. Right now, in your human body, your left foot is not more important than your right hand is. Your left ear is not more important than your right index finger is. If you had to lose one member of your body, one part of your body, if you had to pick one, which one would you say would go? It would be hard to tell. You need every single one of them to function according to the way that God designed you to. Now, some people have handicaps to where some members do not work the way they should. They've learned how to deal with that. Here in the church, we have some members that are dysfunctional. The other members have to compensate for that. But if you make yourself available, if you come here and you say, you know what? I don't have much to give, but I've got just this little bit. God can do great things with that. If you're here and you say, well, I've got this working against me, but I still want to be involved. I still want to do something. That's going to help us along the way as well. God's not looking for ability. He's not looking for the brightest, the fastest, the strongest. He's looking for someone that says, here I am. What can I do? I'm reporting for service. You just point me in the right direction, and that's what I'm going to do. Here's what I think God has gifted me to do, and I want to take my spiritual gift and put it to use. I don't think that I am more important than anyone else. There is no way that I could have shown up on Monday, put all of these decorations up, taken all of these kids, 65, 66 kids each and every day, taught them what they needed to know about Jesus. It took every single one of us becoming available for Vacation Bible School or any other event that we do in the ministry of First Baptist Church. To do it effectively and efficiently, the way it was meant to be. Have you been transformed? Do you no longer think the way that the world thinks? The world says, do what you want. Follow your heart. Look out for number one. But now that you have been born again, now that you have gone through that transformation process, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, goal now is to make yourself presentable and available for the body to function the way that it should. Point number three, I think this is the most important part. Have the spiritual gifts that you have been given become usable for the benefit of God's kingdom? Chapter 6 contains four words that I think are probably the most important in the concept of using your spiritual gifts. Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Underline those four words, highlight them, and remember them. Here is the key to spiritual gifts. Maybe you've taken the survey. Maybe you see what your spiritual gift is on paper. As long as it's on paper, it's not doing us a bit of good. Until it comes off of that paper and into your heart and into your life, and then is used, presentable as that living sacrifice made available for God's purpose, incorporated into the congregation here or wherever you're a member of, that spiritual gift does absolutely no good. Finding them is the easy part. Man, it's easy to take a little test. It's easy to answer a survey. It's easy to say I have the gift of mercy or the gift of giving or the gift of teaching. But if you put it in a box and put the lid on it and you don't use it, it does nobody, yourself included, any good whatsoever. I'll give you an example of this. I know a couple of different people who have gym memberships. They both use their gym memberships, but they use them for different purposes. I know one person who has a gym membership. Man, they go faithfully. You can see the results. They're exercising. They're using the weight equipment there to reach their goals and what they're doing. So that's what they got a gym membership for. The other person got a gym membership because he doesn't have a home right now. He travels around a lot. He's not interested in the exercise equipment, but each one of those gyms has a shower facility where he can go and clean himself up and change and get refreshed without checking in a motel or a hotel or going to anyone else's house. But if he's on the road, he can go right in there, pop in, take a shower. They're using their gym memberships, but they're using them for two different reasons. But I also know people who have had gym memberships, myself included, that they never, ever, ever use them. They were wasting money just because they wouldn't use it. How foolish would it be for God to invest in you a spiritual gift and then you say, you know what? Thanks a lot. I'm going to keep that to myself. That's not what they're for. Has your spiritual gift been made usable for the kingdom of God? I'll give you another example. In my closet, there are these little set of things. I've had them for several years. Now, I've used them for many different things. I've actually taken the weights off and used them to elevate furniture in my house when water started coming in to keep my furniture from getting wet. That's one thing that they're good for. I've also used them to hold down a canopy when the wind got too high. I just needed a little extra weight. But basically, that's not what these are designed for. These are designed to exercise muscles, several different ways you can use them. I can take these and do different reps throughout the day, make them biceps, triceps, whatever steps you got. And you just use them as much as you possibly can And then you start seeing a transformation taking place eventually if you're faithful to use them. However, if I were to purchase these, throw them down on the floor in my closet, close my closet door, turn the light off, and never ever use them again, I've wasted my money. I have not put it to use for what it was meant for. When Jesus Christ saves you, that's only the beginning. A lot of people will give their life to Jesus Christ and they think that's the end of it. That's all I need. That's only the beginning. That's only the beginning of a lifelong process. It is a life of ups and downs. You're going to have your highs and lows. Some of you are already struggling to find what your spiritual gift is. Some of you have already found what your spiritual gift is, but you're struggling to implement it. How do I get started? Where do I put it? Just do it. Let us use them. I want my arms to get bigger. I want my muscles to get better. Let us use them. I bought them. I have them. But if I don't use them, they don't do me any good. You as a Christian, you have been bought with a price. And that price is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has redeemed you. He has sanctified you. He has paid for your sins. You have undergone a transformation. At one point in time, you only had a sinful nature. Now you also have a spiritual nature. Those two are fighting against each other all the time. The one that you exercise and the one that you tend to the most is going to be the one that grows the strongest. Transformation. Have you been transformed? That's where this whole concept of being born again comes from. I once was this. I am now that. I used to be the caterpillar. I entered into the cocoon. I have been born again. I emerge as a butterfly. I used to have a sinful, selfish, self-centered nature. Now I am a member of the Lord Jesus Christ's body, the local congregation, the church. He has given me a spiritual gift. Let me use them. I need you to find out what your spiritual gift is. And I need you to find a way to use it for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his body. Body language. Determining what is going on with the body, whether it is healthy, sick, whether it has been incapacitated in some shape or form, it is easy to identify. But right now, what I see this body getting stronger and healthier day by day. Because many of you have stepped up and you said, I need Jesus in my life. I want to submit to him. I want him to be my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my ruler. And I want to find a way that I can serve him and become that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and usable for his kingdom. Aubrey Malfers had this to say about spiritual gifts and discovering who you are. It's on your outline. He says this. He says, the key to determining what you can do in the body of Christ is discovering who you are, your ministry, identity in Christ. Right now, is your life presentable to the Lord? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you died today, where would you spend eternity? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have not confessed your sins to him, then you are not presentable to him as a living sacrifice. The first step to becoming a follower of Jesus, we learned this in Vacation Bible School, ABC, is to admit, I've got a problem. You can't be saved unless you realize you have something that you need to be saved from. And you can't have a Savior unless you know that you need to be saved. The first step is to admit, I've got a problem. I've got a sin problem in my life, and I need someone to save me from that sin problem. I can't do it by myself. Being a good person won't save you. Being baptized won't save you. Going to church won't save you. Reading your Bible won't save you. It's only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will save you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. The next step is B, believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is the one who died in your place on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. No other reason that he came to this earth than to die for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world. He didn't come into this world to condemn you and to make you feel bad. John 3:17 said, Jesus said, I did not come into this world to condemn this world, but that this world through me might be saved. The second step is to believe that Jesus Christ is a substitute for your sins. And the next step is C, confessing and committing your life to him. Confessing that you need him as your Savior and then saying, I'm going to follow Jesus with my life. I'm going to be that presentable sacrifice. I'm going to be available for him to use. And I want my gifts to be usable for his kingdom, for his honor, and for his glory. Our thing this past week at Vacation Bible School was to magnify God with everything that we do. My life is to be magnifying Jesus Christ in every way, shape, and form. Is that your life today? Every head bowed and every eye closed. In just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation, but right now these altars are open. Whatever the Lord is speaking to you about, I'll be here. John Logan will be here. We have some ladies here that can pray with you and pray for you. But whatever's going on in your heart today, do business with the Lord. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. This is a very private and very intimate moment. None of this is on our video. The cameras are off now. Nobody else is going to see what's going on. Every other head is bowed. Every eye is closed. But in just a moment, we're going to ask you to stand and sing this hymn of invitation. But if you need to move right now towards one of these altars, get alone with the Lord. Pray with him. Pray to him. Pray about what's going on in your heart. Just deal with whatever issues you have in your life right now. But most importantly, if you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're ready to make that decision, if you don't know where you'll spend eternity at, you can leave today with the assurance of knowing that there's a God who loves you, a Savior who died for you, and right now he has a home in heaven waiting for you. All you have to do is simply trust him with your life. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. God, I pray that we would learn how to use every gift, every talent, everything about our lives to magnify you and to bring you honor and glory. Lord, for those who have been faithfully serving this week, I am so, so thankful for them. And I know that there are others that are working in the shadows, Lord God, that we don't see. There are many who are right now praying for this service. There are many who have not set foot on these church grounds this week, but they've been praying faithfully for Vacation Bible School. And Lord, I thank you for those 10 or 12 students that have been here this week that have indicated that they want to know more about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. But right now in this moment, Lord God, if there's anyone that you're dealing with, I pray that you'll give them the boldness to respond and let us know what's going on in their heart and what decision they're looking at making. Lord, if there's especially anyone here that wants to know how they can serve, Lord, I pray that they would just ask a simple question of what can I do? Where do you want me? Where do I need to be? And we can point them in the right direction. Lord, if there's anyone here that you're calling to a special service, you may be dealing with someone to go into the mission field, evangelism, preaching, teaching, whatever the case may be. We need more Sunday school teachers. But Lord, you know what's going on, and you know the hearts of each and every person here. And I just pray that during this time we would do business to you, and we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.